reading to you from the 10th chapter of Mark and with the 20th verse. And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." And looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven, and come, follow me." Good evening, my dear listening friends. This is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been trying to share Christ ever since. Now, I got this special prayer request for you people to be sure and pray for our new broadcast coming up in Pennsylvania the latter part of this month. Pray that God will give me the help and make my throat feel better so I can not be sound like Gravel Gertie. And pray for our prison ministries this coming month. We got some more services. Oh, I tell you, I'd love to go out there. Oh, I really do. Those men and those women, when they come in that chapel, I always tell the girls, I say, "You girls look so nice this morning in your little pink uniforms." And they all laugh. But you know, we don't make fun of them. We don't laugh at them. We go there with a message of love, and because we want them to have the same joy that we have. Listen, I'll be with you for half an hour a night. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or maybe a lemonade. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to Mark, the 9th chapter, and the 43rd verse. "And if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than having you two hands to go to hell into the unquenchable fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than having your two feet be cast into hell, where their worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye cause you to stumble, cast it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if the salt becomes unsalty, with what will you make all its salty again? Have salt in yourself and be at peace with one another." I'm speaking on a controversial subject tonight. Is there a hell? Now, I know evangelists who seem to take a great pleasure in telling men that they're going to hell when they die. I remember when I was a director of the rescue mission in Grand Forks, North Dakota, a pastor from one of the local churches came down at lunchtime and he said, would you care if I say a few words to the men before they eat? I said, "Well, I think that'd be wonderful." So we went in the chapel, and that guy jumped up and down and said, "You're all going to hell. You're a bunch of lost sinners," and went on and on. I almost died. I was so embarrassed. And when he left, I was walking into the chapel, and one of the men grabbed my hand. He said, "That's okay, preacher. He's just trying to get his wings." I was so shocked. Now, you don't win men who's already down on the bottom. Same way in prison. They're already whipped. Why whip them more? Give them something better. Give them love. Well, I'm an evangelist, and if I'm true to the gospel, I have to tell men and women that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Well, a man once came to me and said, "Cecil, how can you get up and preach about a loving, all-caring God and then tell people that if they don't do what God said, that he will send them to hell?" Wrong. God does not send men and women to hell. a person sins himself. God has a plan for men to accept Christ and go to heaven. If a person rejects that plan, they send themselves to hell. John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see the life, but God's wrath remaineth on him. Now that's self-explanatory. First a man repents and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will be saved. Thus saith the Lord. Friends, if you know me, I don't preach a hope-so religion. I preach a no-so religion. Jesus tells us there was a rich man who had everything in life that he needed, but there was a beggar laid at the gate. They would shake the crumbs from the tablecloth, and the beggar would eat. Even the dogs had more compassion on the beggar than the rich man. The dog came and licked his sores. But wait a minute. Something's about to happen. The rich man died and went to hell. But Lazarus died and went to heaven. Now, the rich man is not in hell because he was selfish. He's in hell because he never took time to trust Christ as his Lord and Savior. Do you remember Saul of Tarsus? He consented to murdering Christians and putting them in prison. He witnessed the stoning to death of Stephen the deacon. So, in a sense, Saul was a murderer. Yet, when he got converted on the road to Damascus, he turned out to be one of the greatest apostles of them all. God doesn't care what you have done up to today, but he's concerned what you're going to do with Jesus tonight. If you recall, Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. They taught their sons how to live godly lives. They taught them that tithing was an important thing to do. Well, Abel brought his offering unto the Lord, and the Lord was well pleased. But Cain didn't bring a gift that was acceptable to God. Cain got so mad, he went out and killed his brother Abel and carried him to the ground. The Bible tells us, "Know ye not, sin will find you out." Now, God came looking for Cain and asked him, "Where is your brother?" God knew that Cain had killed him. Cain cried out, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Now, Cain isn't in hell because he killed his brother. He's in hell because he did not do what his parent taught him. All that he'd had to do is repent and ask God to forgive him, and he could have went to heaven after he died. My Bible tells us that a drunkard will never enter the kingdom of God. You say, "Well, Cecil, how are you going to explain that? You were a drunkard." That's correct. However, I confessed to the Lord that I was a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner. I asked him to forgive me and save me, and he did. Praise his name. Now, do you recall the rich man that had such a good crop that his barns wouldn't hold the crop? So he decided in his heart that he'd tear down the old barns and build bigger ones. Then he'd sit back, eat, drink, and be merry. Sounds fair. Wrong. God said, "Tonight your soul will be required of thee." Listen, he could have accepted the Lord and still had his wealth and still went to heaven. The Bible teaches us that it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say he couldn't, but the rich don't need God. They have all that they want on this earth. One of my good friends became a big movie star. Him and I used to slip out of class when I was in Dallas High School and go out behind the new gymnasium and smoke cigarettes and talk about our future. He said, "Cecil, if you kill my stepfather, I'll kill your stepmother." He told me someday he was going to go move back to Hollywood and become a movie star. He never killed my stepmother, and I never killed his stepfather. Bob Weber lived an ungodly life. He played in raunchy films. One day I wrote a letter to Crystal Bernard, who stars in the films Wings. She's a Christian, and her dad is a very dear friend of mine. In fact, he's a singing evangelist. But she never got around to see Bob, and Bob died. He never did come back to the Dalles after he left. I tell you, friends, I loved that guy. I really did. In fact, he did a terrible thing. He was driving the little Ford the night that Anna Mae Wadecki was killed, one of the dear Christians in our high school. She was sweet. She was precious. She lived her Christ. Listen, it doesn't matter if you're an atheist, a Catholic, a Protestant, or a Jew. If you want to go to heaven, you must be born again. No ifs, no ands, and no buts. And if you won't listen to God's message, then you'll end up in a devil's hell, thus saith the Lord. Listen, friends, listen to me very carefully. Jesus spent far more time telling people about hell than he did heaven. Reason? He didn't want anyone to go. Do you remember the rich young ruler? He approached Jesus one day and said, Master, what must I do? Did you get that? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and then you can have eternal life. The Bible tells us he went away very sad because he just couldn't give up his wealth for heaven. Oh, the Bible said, what is the profit of man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Think, what would you like to have more than anything in the world? Many of you say, well, I'd like to have riches, I'd like to have fame, I'd like to have fortune. But let me ask you, wouldn't you rather have peace with God and have all these sins forgiven and have your name written in the Lamb Book of Life? The Bible tells us when the rich man went to hell, he began to cry, send Lazarus to come down and put some water on my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. He said, go back and warn my five brothers not to come to this place. Listen, here's a soul winner in hell. Can you imagine? He didn't want his brothers. You know, my son was in a hospital with a serious operation, and I stayed at the hospital with him all night, and there was a young boy about 8 who was burned over 90% of his body. Oh, they could not kill the pain. He screamed all night long until I thought I would go crazy. I prayed and prayed that God would ease his pain. My wife and I was in a terrible car accident. My wife ended up under the tailgate of the Jeep station wagon, and several farmers lifted her up off of her. And you know what? I spent hours in traction. And I was sent to Seattle to go to rehab centers, trying to fix my back. The pain was so bad, I would cry like a baby. I kept praying that God would heal me. Well, one evening, I was speaking at a church in Oak Harbor, Washington. The pastor invited me and my wife over to their house for coffee and cake. Well, there was another couple there, and I was in so much pain, I could hardly stand it. This visitor said, are you in pain, Cecil? I assured him I was. He said, how did you get hurt? And I told him we were in an automobile accident. He asked me if I'd ever went to a chiropractor. I said, shoot, no. I don't go to those quacks. What do you suppose this guy was? Yeah, you're right. He was a chiropractor. Well, I was embarrassed, to say the least. He suggested I come over to his office. I did, and he x-rayed me, standing up, instead of laying down like the state had me do. He gave me an adjustment, and that was the end of my 3 years of pain. God uses doctors and nurses. When everything fails, he can heal. Don't go around and tell people that God heals everyone, because he doesn't. He can, but he doesn't always. It has to be according to the will of God. Years ago, I was staying in a motel with my family, and I was roofing for the American Roofing Company, and I was trying to go to seminary. There's a lady alcoholic living next door to my apartment. I promised the Lord that someday I was going to talk to her and share the gospel to her. I got busy, never got around to it. One night I heard an ambulance pull up in front of their apartment. They came and took her out into the hospital. She tried to kill herself with pills. I got up and went to the hospital to see if I could do anything for her. A few days later, she came home from the hospital, and again I said to God, I'll pay her a visit. Got busy, but one night, there was a knock on my door, and there she stood, drunk out of her mind. Well, preacher said, she said, aren't you going to preach to me? I said, no, but come in. I started telling her how to find Christ. And I said, wouldn't you like to go to heaven? She said, heck no, all my friends are in hell. And then she laughed. I said to my wife, Jean, go in and put a great big huge pan of water on the stove and bring it to a boil. Now, pour the scalding water in this wash tub. And then we were all three get down and stick our elbows down into that boiling water. She said, you think I'm crazy? I said, your pain won't be any easier because we are hurting too. So if your friends are in hell and torment, so will you. She said, Cecil, I get the point. She never did trust Jesus as far as I know. Well, there was an alcoholic lady one time when I was pastoring in Corbett, Oregon. And I invited her and her three children to our house for Thanksgiving dinner because she didn't have a place to go. And we had a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner. And after dinner, her children and my children went out and was playing football. And so my wife and I, we started witnessing to this dear lady. Oh, I'm telling you, Nita, she just, tears streamed down her face, but she would not accept Christ. One day, Jean and I were in town, and I said, let's go stop and visit with Nita. Well, she said, Cecil, I go to a different church than you are a pastor of, so you want to read a sermon as our pastor preached last Sunday? The man called Jesus an illegitimate child. He made fun of Christ. I got mad and I said, Nita, this is blasphemy. A week later, she was rushed to the hospital, and our friend called and said, Nita's in the hospital. Well, I called Chaplain at the hospital, Tarverstead, who was a dear friend of mine and a great soul winner. And I said, Chaplain Tarverstead, this lady, Nita's in the hospital. I don't know what she's in there for, but she seemed to be quite sick. Would you, and I said, I've tried to witness to her. She's an alcoholic. I said, would you go down there and talk to her and tell her about Jesus? So he went in there and Nita, he told her that I'd called. And, oh, she said, yes, Cecil's a friend of mine, him and his wife. He said, well, I want to tell you what Jesus did for me. So he shared his testimony, told a whole bunch of wonderful, wonderful stories. And then he said, well, you know, Nita, I have to leave. Would you mind if I would bow and have a word of prayer with you? And she said, no. He bowed his head and he prayed that God would touch her heart and open her heart to Jesus. When he opened his eyes, she was dead. She's in hell today because she did not believe that there was anything to Jesus. I think I've told you a thousand times about old Charlie, the roofing contractor in Seattle. Charlie was a commercial roofer, and I did homes. Well, I witnessed to him, and he got mad at me. And, oh, he just got really mad. One day he called me. He said, I'm going up to Everett to bid a big commercial job. Would you like to go? Are you busy? I said, no, I'll go with you. I thought, well, here's a good time that I might begin to witness to Charlie. I did. I witnessed. And he said, I'm going to tell you something, Mo. I believe salvation is for old ladies, little kids, but not real men. I'm 40 years old. I've never been sick a day in my life, and I sure don't need your Jesus. So I shut up. I shut up. I was burning, but I shut up. A few days later, my wife and I was over by their place, and I said, let's stop and see Charlie's wife. She was in a wheelchair, just a wonderful lady. And I gave her some tracts, and I invited her and Charlie to come to church. Well, it wasn't shortly after that that Charlie came home, and he said, saw her reading those gospel tracts. He said, what in the, was the Mose here? She said, yes. She said, "Charlie, can't we go to church with them? They're the nicest people." And, you know, Cecil used to be a terrible alcoholic, but the Lord really changed his life. Oh, my stars, he threw a hissy. He said, "I don't need any blankety-blank God. I do not need any blankety-blank church." And so that's settled, okay? He stormed out of the house, went and got in his pickup, and his son owned a service station over on Highway 99, I believe it was. And Charlie pulled into the service station, and his son came out to greet his dad. And when Charlie opened the door, he fell dead into his son's arms. Friends, Charlie had every opportunity in the world to trust Jesus. You too, right now, have every opportunity. You say, "But Cecil, I belong to the First Presbyterian Church or the First Baptist Church, or I don't care what church you belong to. If you die today, will you go to heaven or hell?" Now, you're the only one that could answer that. I can't answer it for you. You know, it says in the 21st chapter of Revelation, and the 6th chapter, 21st chapter and the 6th verse, he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring, from the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he'll be my son. But the cowardly and unbelieving and the vile and the murders and the sexual immorals, those who practice magic arts, the adulterers and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." Friends, listen. You're an intelligent person. You sure don't want to go to a devil's hell. You know, I call them pick and choose Christians. I've had people say, "Oh, Cecil, I sure believe in heaven." Well, I don't believe in hell. I was witnessing to a waiter the other day. He said, "I believe hell's on this earth. I don't even believe there's a devil." I said, "You better believe it." I said, "You know, God loves you, and he'll save you if you'll trust him." "I don't have time for that stuff." He believed in hell, in heaven, but he sure didn't believe in hell. Well, that's where he's headed. The devil has blinded his eyes. Has the devil blinded your eyes tonight? I'm asking you, do you know where you're going to go when you die? Friend, listen. You might have a tugging at your heart right now. Oh, you might have a tugging. And if you do, it's God's Holy Spirit drawing your heart and letting you know that he wants to save you and give you a new life. You say, "Well, Cecil, look, I do feel that I should trust the Lord, so what do I have to do?" Well, if you have that tugging at your heart and you feel a need for Jesus, bow your head to me right now, and I'm going to lead you in the most powerful prayer ever prayed, and here's how it goes. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for my wayward life, and tonight, the best way I know how, I'm opening my heart and I'm receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. No, I won't use your name on the air. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Well, friends, I'm waiting for your call. 303-471-8534. Touched me.
And now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me.
Oh, he touched me.
And oh, the joy that floods my soul.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been an evangelist, Cecil Moe. Oh, friends, don't go to hell. I don't care what anyone tells you. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I was lost, doomed, and damned for 30 years. And when I finally heard the message that God loved me, that he could deliver me from alcoholism, I trusted him. I've been sober ever since, and to God be the glory and the praise. Well, friends, if you'd like to talk to me, you call me at 303-471-8534. And listen, if you can't afford to call, call me collect. I'll accept the charge. Well, friends, be sure and pray for our new broadcast up in Pennsylvania. And pray that God will give us souls for a higher prison. And pray for our health. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. Oh, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.